It's Alum Group's Andrea Lay, PacFew's Melissa Burdick, live with me here in Connecticut, the Wizard of Woodland Hills Tree, and I'm PBSB from Flywheel, a division of Omnicom. Before we get to the CPG Guys episode you've downloaded, it's the week of April 15th, and it's time for the Fresh Four. Four curated news stories from the past week. We find them hubristically intriguing. We hope you do too. They're brought to you through our partnership with Retail Wit, your one-stop shop for retail industry intelligence and news. RetailWit.com. It's retail right now. Melissa, kick us off.
Hey, Fresh Four listeners. Dollar General celebrates opening its 20,000th store. There you go, 20,000. U.S.-based discount retailer Dollar General has opened its 20,000th store, celebrating the occasion in Alice, Texas. The grand opening celebrations were attended by senior leaders and vendors. Dollar General Executive Vice President of Store Operations and Development, Steve Deckard, commented, "We believe each store provides a positive impact in our hometowns through convenient access to affordable essentials, career growth, opportunities for employees, and the ability for local nonprofits, schools, and libraries to advance through Dollar General Literacy Foundation grants." Dollar General also awarded $20,000 to support educational and tutoring programs through donations to a local library and community group, as well as providing new books to a local elementary school. Dollar General employs more than 17,500 Texas employees through its store, distribution center, and private fleet presence in the state. On to you, Sri.
Thank you, Melissa and Peter. Jessica Alba has actually stepped down as Chief Creative Officer of The Honest Company, a company she founded. So after nearly 12 years of the company, Alba shared the news in an Instagram post on Tuesday, April 9th. "It is with grateful heart that 12 years after founding The Honest Company, I'm stepping down from my leadership role as CCO. However, I will continue to provide strategic advice through my role on the board," Alba wrote. What's next, Peter?
Oreo reimagines ubiquitous internet menu icon to dole out discounts. Mondelez international brand Oreo has launched a commerce activation dubbed the Oreo menu that aims to re-envision the internet's ubiquitous three-line hamburger menu navigation tool as a two-stacked Oreo cookies. Key to the effort is a microsite where consumers can enter any tab or category name they see when clicking on the three-bar menu icon on the internet as a promo code to receive a deal for Oreo cookies that can be redeemed at Kroger as part of an exclusive partnership. The activation includes an explanatory video and is being driven by influencer content along with digital and social media to drive engagement. The effort follows Oreo's first Super Bowl ad in a decade earlier this year. Andrea, what do you have to close us out?
Hello, Fresh Four listeners. Shein has copyright infringement baked into its business model. Shein is facing a class action lawsuit that alleges that the fast fashion company uses an industrial scale scheme of systematic digital copyright infringement against small designers and artists, according to court documents last week. Attorneys for the group of plaintiffs say that Shein uses sophisticated electronic systems that algorithmically scour the internet for popular works created by artists and misappropriates these works to manufacture and sell them as Shein products without attribution to the creators. The complaint is the latest in a series of copyright infringement lawsuits filed against the fast fashion giant, including an ongoing one from last year that claimed violation of the Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organization Act.
Thank you, Andrea. That's it for the Fresh Four. Now on to the CPG Guys episode that you've downloaded.
Welcome to another episode of the CPG Guys podcast. Our co-hosts, Sri Rajagopalan and Peter V.S. Bond, explore how brands and retailers engage with consumers online, in-store, and everywhere in between. And now, here are Sri and Peter.
Hello, 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 and welcome to this episode of the CPG Guys podcast. I'm, of course, Sri, one of the aforementioned CPG Guys. I'm back from a week and a half in sunny Minneapolis where it was enjoyable, a lot of fun, and I got to hang out with, a pretty large group gathering. And on my day job. My co-host and friend, of course, is the VP of Partner Strategy and Dev at none other than Fetch Rewards, a mobile loyalty platform as we endeavor to explore consumer engagement in a digitally driven world. Welcome, the man also known as a number, Mr. 007, a.k.a. The Bond. How are you, sir?
You know, Sri, I'm coming to you from Palm Beach. It's the annual NACDS meeting. I'm enjoying some food, some sun, and a whole lot of great meetings, seeing so many industry friends. I encourage everybody to just check out my LinkedIn stream. You'll see a lot of pictures there. But what's also making me happy, Sri, is both our teams are in first place in not only their divisions, but I do believe they're both leading the leagues. I feel a Dodgers-Yankees World Series in the making. Calling it a little early, but hey, let's give it a shot, right?
We've only got 146 games to go, Peter.
Let's cross our fingers, Sri. Cross our fingers.
We'll take it. We'll take it. Like, you know, life is good. Let's not complain. And I'm assuming you're at the Breakers Hotel. You know, I miss going to the NACDS conference. Enjoy the beach walks and make the most of it and all the lovely meals you probably, I will anticipate on your behalf. And I already saw a bunch of pictures, but I expect a few more, especially on Instagram, with culinary delights.
Indeed. Fair? Indeed. Yep.
Peter, thank you so much for that. Yes, life is good. Let me remind our audience that all of our content at this stage, Peter, just a few episodes away from 200 episodes, 195 plus and counting, can be found by going to a browser and type in cpgguys.com. If you aren't already following us on LinkedIn, all you got to do is enter CPG Guys in the search box on LinkedIn. And when you get to our page, simply hit the blue plus button, which also indicates follow. That way you'll get to see all of the content we produce week over week, multiple episodes. And the best thing about it, Peter, do you charge for it?
It's free, Sri. It's free.
Wow. You know, free is a good thing, man. And did y'all know that we're in partnership with Next Up, the network of executive women now rebranded? In the middle of every Wednesday episode is hidden an Easter egg with a message from them. Download, tune in, listen, and thank you to all of our 12K plus followers and growing. Without you, there is no show. We thank you for the love, DMs, all your engagement day in and day out for the CPG guys. Of course, we've launched a second podcast called the FMCG Guys, which takes the CPG Guys format of omnichannel digital exploration all the way to the European market. Friends, Efrain and Daniel, the hosts based in Europe, and will be talking with FMCG retail thought leaders about the transformation happening on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean. And now, for the moment, today, Peter and I are looking forward to a discussion on our favorite topic. Peter, what is our favorite topic? Retail media. We've had the pleasure of speaking with luminaries from many retail media platforms. This is the first conversation with a new entrant in the space from retail. We are talking about none other than the drug chain Walgreens, of course, and its ad group, a modern full-service personalization engine rooted in advanced customer data and technology. They help brands create meaningful experiences with Walgreens shoppers through artificial intelligence optimization on and off platform. I will welcome to the show Katie Voigt, Director of Media Planning and Execution, and Erin Lostra, Senior Director of Business Development at Criteo. This episode is, of course, bought in partnership with Criteo, a global tech company that powers the world's marketers and media owners with trusted and impactful advertising through a world-leading commerce media platform. Katie and Erin, before we get to the questions, we'd love to know more about your respective roles for the companies you represent and where one can learn more about each of the companies. Katie, I believe there's a little secret we're going to let a cat out of the bag today. No kidding. I believe you actually worked with the man known as the three-letter number, Mr. Bond himself, in a past life. Feel free to tell our audience any dirt you may have on this guy. And in particular, is there a SDC story?
I did work with Peter for many years at Dunnhumby. And Peter, it is so good to see you again and reconnect. I have so many SDC stories on Peter, but this podcast, it is not long enough. I don't want to monopolize the time. I think we all know those are best shared over drinks. So maybe another time I will spill all of the dirt on Peter. But for now, I can chat about what I'm up to since my Dunnhumby days with Peter. I'm now at Walgreens. I lead media planning and execution for Walgreens Advertising Group. So for those of you who don't know, Walgreens launched a retail media business in December of 2020. So we offer offsite advertising, onsite, in-store advertising, data and insights to our brands and advertisers. Within my team, I've got a team of media planners. So they partner very closely with brands and they build out 360 media channels that most meet brand objectives. And then I got a team of execution leads who make media buys and optimize media and channels like Facebook and Google and our owned and operated platforms.
Katie, thank you so much for that. Erin, why don't you take a moment and tell our audience what your role at Criteo is, as well as where they can find more about Criteo online and how they can get in touch with you.
Thanks for having me. I help lead Criteo's retail partnerships team for our retail media business. So if you're not familiar with Criteo, we work with over 100 retailers globally, 35 North American retailers and counting. As most people listening probably know, retail media includes ads placed on a retailer's e-commerce site or app, or the leveraging of first-party audience data to effectively reach consumers offline or offsite to influence on, you know, in e-commerce sales. My role here at Criteo is helping our retailer partners, really no matter where they are in their retail media offering, to identify key growth opportunities, really by providing consultative and strategic-led solutions, also while ensuring continued growth for their businesses, because that's what matters most, specifically partners like Walgreens and Katie. But to find out more about Criteo, you can always visit www.criteo.com. And then for LinkedIn, you can find me at Erin Dye, that's D-Y-E, Lastra, L-A-S-T-R-A.
Thank you for that, Katie and Erin. We'll include, of course, hyperlinks to your LinkedIn page, the Walgreens advertising group and Criteo sites, and LinkedIn pages in our episode digital liner notes. Now we're going to jump into the questions. Katie, you have an illustrious career with personalization as your anchor. Walk us through your roles at Dunnhumby first and those pivotal moments that got you here as a leader for Walgreens retail media.
Yes, I can do that. Let's go all the way back to the beginning. So I've had a lot of different roles with Dunnhumby, but when I think about my current role with Walgreens Advertising Group, I'm really grateful for the experience at Dunnhumby and getting that foundation of loyalty and insights. I mean, Peter, you know it well, really immersed in the world of loyalty and data and insights and leveraging data to make better and smarter decisions. And in my current job, we're making better and smarter decisions related to media. So at Dunnhumby, I worked with merchants and merchandising strategy, worked with CPGs using retail to make better merchandising and marketing decisions. And then my last role at Dunnhumby was in the CRM world and building CRM programs for retailers like GNC and Petco. And then, I don't know if you know this, Peter, but I actually went to Walgreens and started my career there managing the loyalty direct mail program called the Quarterly Thank You, which delivers millions of Walgreens members with personalized coupons. So that should sound familiar to our days with Kroger and Dunnhumby, but was doing that for Walgreens. And it was interesting because my team started to expand on what we were doing, which was really focused on Walgreens and personalization and delivering those personalized experiences more at the direct brand level. And for our brand partners, meeting their objectives at Walgreens. So I like to say that we started to do random acts of retail media. This was the early days of partnering with suppliers, piloting and trying out first-party data audience targeting in Facebook and Google and programmatic. Then we started to dabble in conjunction with our digital merchants on advertising on our site. So established our partnership with Criteo and sponsored product ads. So retail media was happening. It was happening in silos across a couple different teams. But you can see like the puzzle pieces were really forming to create a media network. And 2 years ago, Luke Kiegel joined and started heading up Walgreens Media. And that's where we took a more formal approach, an official approach to launching a retail media business. But all those pieces were really in place for many years. And this last year since we launched has really just been the culmination of all those retail media practices that were happening, but we invested in people and technology and an expanded ecosystem to really make it a strategic business.
Thank you for that, Katie. Before I get to my question on Aaron, I'll just simply say a couple things about your opening. One is that for those of, we're an educational podcast, so I'll let people know that SDC stands for Skills Development Course. It was more or less a team building exercise that would bring people from around the region, different offices, different countries, to get to know each other and build some camaraderie. The second thing I will say is that what happened in Louisville will stay in Louisville, particularly for certain people who are back across the pond who shall remain nameless. That being said, Aaron, please, if you would, it's good to, one, I'll say it's great to have you back on the podcast. You know, after five episodes, you get one of those Saturday Night Live velour smoking jackets. So something to look forward to, right? But can you please frame out for our audience the partnership that Criteo has developed with Walgreens? You know, what specific services and solutions does Criteo offer to brands through the Walgreens advertising group and their retail media platform?
Before we get to the partnership with Walgreens, which I'm excited to talk about, let's talk about the partnership with you, the CPG guys that you just mentioned. I want a jacket. So Pam, that, you know, I'll get with Pam three more times, it sounds like, and I get a jacket. So all kidding aside, with Walgreens, we've partnered with them for over 6 years, and we've really grown the partnership significantly within this time. As Katie mentioned, the Walgreens retail media journey is shared across multiple retailers that we work with. One that we really see all the time of, you know, tackling it a bit at a time, kind of like bite-sized pieces in terms of growing, you know, their retail media offering. So we're with them now full steam ahead as they're full steam ahead with their WAG offering. Also, as Katie mentioned, the solution we currently help support Walgreens with and through is the retail media offering is sponsored ads. And so those that might not be familiar with sponsored ads, Walgreens leverages Criteo's ad technology platform to help power the sponsored product listings. So if you go on to walgreens.com and type in multivitamins, you'll see a sponsored product elevated to the top. That's essentially what Criteo's platform is helping power on Walgreens' site in order for brands to invest in that key term and elevate their product to the top, and then essentially allowing that consumer to click on that product, leading to a sale for Walgreens of that multivitamin. So these ads are delivered across desktop and mobile, and we just recently, which is really exciting, released inventory on the Walgreens app. It launched in February of this year, and I'll spend a little bit of time to tell you about just how the experience with app has been to date and why we're so excited about it. It was a big move for Walgreens to offer their app, specifically because of the popularity of their app, which was named by eMarketer as one of the top 10 retail apps in 2020, based on just consumers leveraging the retail app. So, you know, here at Criteo, we know that ad revenue increases 50 to 70% in incrementality when app placements are added, just purely based on the additional supply and the ability to reach those audiences that spend time on the app and invest in the app. So when we look at Criteo data, we can see that shoppers on app are more selective. So getting them to the products that they want and need quickly is absolutely critical. Not only on desktop devices, but shoppers on pharmacy sites view 4 product detail pages before purchasing versus 9 for everyone else. And on app, pharmacy shoppers view 3 PDPs, which are product detail pages, before purchasing versus 4 for everyone else. So really being front and center of their experience can have a big impact. You know, we also see that on average, pharmacy shoppers buy 4 items both on app and on desktop. So for those that think that the shoppers buy less on app, that's just not the case for this channel. So, you know, some key insights in terms of performance of what we're seeing, that engagement across Walgreens with the launch of the app is 3 to 7 times higher in terms of click-through rate, and return on ad spend has improved 2 times. So really excited about the momentum of app and truly the fact that we're being able to serve, you know, the most relevant ads to those consumers as they're, you know, shopping within the app environment. But I will say that our partnership with Walgreens goes way beyond the use of the platform. We really work hand in hand with the WAG business team and their media buying team, so Katie's team, to ensure we're consistently working to identify and apply, you know, optimizations to campaigns to maximize performance. So the brands that are experiencing their WAG campaigns are essentially experiencing the greatest returns and the greatest performance. And we want to be Walgreens' partner to ensure that, you know, they're maximizing all opportunities for the brands that are engaging and investing.
Erin, let's talk through return on investment, also known as the acronym ROI. How do you partner with clients to measure and monitor ROI? Take us through the details of how you do that at Walgreens.
You know, because sponsored products are a performance-based solution, of course, engagement based on clicks and return on ad spend based on attributed sales are key performance indicators for monitoring and measuring performance. But to your question, you know, one additional point on return on ad spend is is really just the beginning of what you can understand. It's important, of course, but retail media technology and data combine to give you the ability to identify really the different touch points throughout the consumer's journey or throughout their behavior. So were they exposed to this ad? How many times were they exposed to this ad? You know, frequency metrics that they can identify through executing. When did they convert? You know, how did they convert? Was it post-click or was it, you know, post-view? And in what time frame did, you know, it take for them to actually convert after being exposed? And then from there, you can really understand the purchase cycle of when it's time to re-engage that consumer and or deliver them an affinity product. You know, if they bought eyeliner, you know, targeting them with mascara, knowing that they're buying within the beauty category. And, you know, if they're putting eyeliner on their eyes, they're probably looking to put mascara on their eyes as well. Some other, you know, insights outside of return on ad spend is share of voice. You know, what was a brand's share of voice within the category when they invested? If they want to increase their share of voice, or, you know, take over from a competitive perspective, what does that look like in terms of what they need to invest? Additionally, performance by keyword, just really understanding which keywords are converting. We see a lot of times brands take that and will mirror it within other strategies that they do, even off of a retail site. So all of these key insights are based on campaign performance, are available via the platform or the UI, the user interface that we have with our retail media platform. But you have them at your fingertips when investing with Walgreens.
Katie, I think you'll agree that scale is what will excite brands seeking to engage shoppers. And I know with our common professional DNA, with scale comes all sorts of incredible capabilities, being able to behaviorally segment consumers, identify propensity models and signals. That's all really cool stuff. So can you share with our audience some of the key stats around Walgreens' size of audience that will help brands with driving audience engagement when they partner with Walgreens?
Definitely. Let me take us back to the fall of 2020 again, which is when Walgreens Advertising Group launched, but Walgreens also had a very, very busy quarter where we relaunched our loyalty program. So starting in the fall of 2020, we have been collecting data and re-signing people up for our loyalty program, and we are now at 97 million My Walgreens members. So My Walgreens is the second largest loyalty program in the US. So if scale excites brands, we've got it. That kind of volume you can do a lot with. And it really allows us to target really specific behaviors, but not lose that scale. But Peter, you're right that it takes more than just volume of data. You have to know how to use it for good in media. And so our data science team works really hard to harness the power of all of that data and really unlock the value of it for media through things like micro-segmentations. So that allows us to get very, very personalized in our creative because we know at a granular level how these individuals are behaving. Predictive models, propensity models. So you know that all of that is really what our teams are offering to brands is not just the volume of data, but audiences that will drive the absolute best return for what their brand objective is. And the other thing that we've done is we've integrated our billions and billions of transaction data and all of our site behaviors with our activation platforms. So we're also optimizing ad delivery to these really rich audiences so that we're delivering more effective media. And this is what we do with Criteo. So with our sponsored product ads algorithm, we're taking into account everything Aaron was just talking about. What are people doing on our site? Are they clicking? Are they searching? Are they converting? And all of that data is really feeding this machine learning algorithm, which is what determines who should see an ad. And we're getting, you know, the right ad in front of the right person. And we do the same thing with offsite. So we're doing that with Criteo. And then with offsite programmatic, we've synced all of our transaction data to our programmatic delivery platform. And when we reach an individual, we're taking into account that real-time transaction behavior and all those in-market signals to make sure we're not wasting any media. We're reaching that right person. And when they convert, we know it. And we move on to the next best person for an ad.
Katie, you had me at 97 million. That's all I'm going to say.
A reminder to our audience that we're speaking to Katie Voigt and Erin Lostra from Walgreens and Criteo. Erin, how is retargeting shaping up these days given all the constraints on cookies, privacy, etc.? And what is Criteo's offering in this space? And is that offering critical for full funnel attribution?
Really, you know, the benefit of using retail media is that all the data we access is first party. We're not relying on third party cookies. So you don't have to worry about the cookie deprecation. It's worth mentioning, too, that on top of this, retailer sites are totally brand safe environments. You know, advertisers really never have to worry about inappropriate content because retail sites are just selling product and they do have content, but it's content relative to selling products and educating about products. So, you know, as mentioned, our solutions are full funnel. And this includes via attribution reporting. So full funnel and the targeting aspect of being able to, you know, and from a, you know, solution perspective of being able to leverage, you know, multiple ad funnel, ad formats within a full funnel approach, but then also being able to tie that to performance and saying, you know, closed loop full funnel reporting of this is how your ad effectiveness online influenced a purchase. You know, there are plenty of shoppers in the awareness phase who could be landing on a homepage and can see an ad or for a brand or a product that they hadn't been considering before. And so really, when we talk about full funnel, you know, you reach them on the homepage, you're driving that awareness. But then we also offer placements throughout a retailer site, expanding a shopper's consideration set. And then, you know, obvious placements that are in search results and on product detail pages, which drive shoppers that are really much closer to that point of conversion, you know, ultimately lowering that shopping funnel. So, you know, here at Criteo and with partners like Walgreens, our continued vision will continue to be and has been one unified platform to enable all ad formats. So, you know, for example, for display, we're opening up new targeting options so you can target shoppers based on past browsing behavior, based on past purchasing behavior, or even based on what a shopper currently has in their cart. So I'll go back to my example earlier. You know, they have eyeliner. The propensity for them probably needing mascara is pretty high. So target them with an affinity product while they have something currently in their shopping cart. Or if they have, you know, a diaper, they might need diaper cream. So those types of targeting aspects to really build carts from a relevancy perspective. Additionally, custom built audiences based on retailers' first party data, capturing both in-store and you know, online purchasing habits. You know, we know that with COVID, a lot of people started purchasing online. So an increase in online sales, but we still know the lion's share of transactions happen in store. And we want to be able to identify, you know, what those buying habits are and effectively reach them online to influence their in-store purchase or even their online purchase if they decide to make a purchase online. And we also know the importance of executing sponsored products alongside display. And we'll continue to ensure our platform is powering these opportunities for our retailers, really to be able to offer what I mentioned, those targeting capabilities that ensure personalization and ad relevancy is really at the forefront of how we reach those consumers to not only ensure that their experience on site is customized to who they are, but that they as a customer don't feel that their shopping experience is compromised in a way that, you know, they feel as though multiple ads that are irrelevant to them are being placed. And we know that that's very important for Walgreens. So we'll continue to, you know, refine and ensure that our targeting capabilities along with our platform for relevancy is at the forefront of everything that we do.
That is great, Erin. I recently saw some research by eFundamentals, a notable digital shelf analytics company, and they said that roughly 60% of all ads to basket occur from the first four positions in search. And that's where retail media lives. So brands, what Erin and Katie are telling you about, it's pretty darn important in the outcomes that you're seeking. So Katie, you know, when you connect with a platform like Criteo, what specific experiences do you see are being unlocked for brands through this partnership? And, you know, how will this help a brand succeed?
Yeah, I can talk about a couple of different unlocks. The first is very foundational, which is access to our inventory. So Walgreens is part of Criteo's retail media platform. So through that platform, brands have access to 100% of the inventory for sponsored product ads on Walgreens.com. And what's really exciting, what Erin just talked about earlier, is now that inventory also includes our mobile app inventory. And it's on Walgreens Advertising Group's roadmap to continue to offer new inventory sources through Criteo. So more to come. On that, we'll hopefully have some exciting announcements coming up in the upcoming summer and months after that. Another unlock is transparency and performance. So through the partnership with Criteo, brands have access to real-time reporting, including sales and ROAS, and they can access that at their fingertips through a self-serve dashboard through the Criteo interface. So really looking to be more open and get results in front of our brands and advertisers in a more real-time fashion. Keeping with the theme of open, the third unlock I'll talk about is just ease of use and flexibility of the platform. So Walgreens has, through the partnership with Criteo, 10 different third-party partners who have access to our inventory. So we have APIs set up with 10 different platforms. So when we're talking about open, we mean if a brand wants to access our inventory through a third-party partner, they can do that. If they want to access it through Walgreens and have us manage the campaign for them, they can do that too. If they want their own self-serve access and they want to work directly in the Criteo platform, that's an option as well. So Walgreens Advertising Group, we are not looking to be another walled garden. We really want to make it easy for brands to work with us, make our inventory open to them with flexibility in how they access. And that's why we're hoping to help brands succeed. So we're making it easy to work with us, and brands don't have to bring much. Just have an objective in mind, and we will partner with you to build out the best media plan and make the experience a great one.
Katie, congratulations on the Walgreens Retail Media Network being out for over a year now. What is the industry asking you for, and what are you seeking to deliver in the near future? Is there a success story or example how Criteo has helped you deliver for brands on your platform?
ooh, the industry is asking for a lot. So let me narrow it down to a couple of things. I feel like there's two key themes that have been emerging recently. One is kind of what I touched on before with accessibility of inventory and data and how brands actually work with retail media. And then the second is around media performance, which I feel like will always and forever be an ask of the industry. But when I think about that first one, what brands and advertisers want is they want to be able to access our inventory and our data in the buying platform of their choice. So that's when talking about the Criteo APIs and having 10 different APIs, and there's more on the horizon there, that we're really looking to allow access to our inventory in many different platforms in many different ways. We're also doing that through our offsite. So we recently had some exciting announcements in the press and have rolled out our offsite self-serve programmatic offering. So now there are 70 plus Walgreens audiences that are available to brands in the trade desk or through OpenX. So we're really excited about that launch. Again, trying to kind of break down those walls of being a walled garden where we're really more open to our brands and advertisers. But at the end of the day, we know the media has to perform. So that's always been an ask of the industry is high-performing campaigns. And Walgreens Advertising Group, our differentiators really set us up for success there. It's the volume and richness of our first-party data, as well as those platform integrations where we've got the real-time transaction data and site data that's powering all of our ad delivery. And it's really paying out. I mean, Aaron mentioned earlier, we've worked with Criteo for 6 years. So that's how much data that we have that's powering the AI model that determines ad relevancy and predictability of what's going to convert, all of that feeding the algorithm. And what we're seeing, and the success story I would highlight, is the industry typically sees about 200 to 300% ROAS for sponsored product ads. Walgreens is seeing on average 400% and at times as high as 1,000% ROAS on our campaigns. And it really goes back to the volume of the data we have, the history of the data that we have, that's all feeding the advertising we deliver.
Thank you for that, Katie. Aaron, I'm going to let you finish this out. I'm going to ask you the last question. Seems like you're doing some great stuff, and I'll summarize it after we hear your response to this. But I'd like to know where Criteo is going. Seems like you're doing some pretty tremendous stuff. You know, what areas are there capability developments going on within your walls? And what should your clients and prospects look forward to Criteo delivering in the near future?
Thanks for the question, Peter. Many that know me well probably said this last time that I joined you. They know that I say this often. You know, Criteo's vision is really to help defragment what can feel like a very fragmented space. And what I mean by that is, you know, how do we at Criteo act as a one-stop shop, ease of access platform? We want to give brands and marketers the control to access the retailer inventory, how they deem, you know, what's most effective and efficient for them. And then our partners like Katie and Walgreens, and you heard her, you know, the control that they can give to brands to access their first party data and ad inventory. But also, you know, as Katie mentioned, you know, get away from the notion of being a walled garden so that you are giving brands and agencies and marketers access to your inventory how they want. You know, enter the front door of Walgreens, how is effective for you, whether that's via a 3P API partner or whether that's via the WAG team and from a managed service perspective, or even from a self-serve perspective of being able to be hands-on keyboard and log in. We know that, you know, when you give brands options, especially when some have, you know, limited resources and they need to be able to access inventory and do everything at their fingertips, that's important to give them, you know, that control and access. You know, from a product perspective, we're launching, and what we're really excited about, offsite display within our platform to provide brands, agencies, and marketers the ability to access and buy via self-serve, you know, offsite via self-serve, but across all ad formats for both onsite and offsite. When I say offsite, I mean display and video, which would really allow for, you know, that one platform for campaign management, the ability to target consumers leveraging, you know, a first party data from our retailer partners. And then that real-time closed loop reporting, allowing for attribution across all executed solutions. And we're talking about, you know, real-time holistic closed loop reporting, meaning, you know, instead of waiting for days for multiple platforms to talk to one another to give, you know, what your ad was, that ad across different formats was effective at driving a sale. It's all going to be in one platform, and it's within hours that you can have access to that data, that closed loop reporting, full funnel reporting. We've heard from brands that they're incredibly excited about these developments, but even our retail partners. And, you know, it is, we tailor our roadmap and our vision according to what our retailers are asking us for and what brands are asking us for. So we are always open to collaboration and feedback, because many times, more times than not, our roadmap has been adjusted and tailored because, you know, a partner like Walgreens comes to us and say, hey, wouldn't it be cool if we could do this? And then we'll tailor it accordingly. So it will continue to evolve, but it will evolve because we're listening to what our retail partners want. And we're listening to what the brands want as we continue to evolve and build our platform.
I'd like to remind our audience that all of our content, nearly 200 episodes in audio format, available on over 40 different podcasting platforms. It's all available. Just go to cpgguys.com, choose your favorite platform. It's all free, so everybody can afford it. And of course, we want your feedback. Best way to do that is to go to ratethispodcast.com/cpgguys. Go to the Apple platform and leave us a rating, but do leave us a review, because the review is your best way to tell us what you're thinking about, where you think we should go. Because, you know, like what Aaron said about being very much customer driven, you're our customers, and we want to make sure we're discussing the topics that are important to you. And I know that today's topic is always top of mind. So I'm going to summarize a couple things here. Scale, 97 million, micro segmentation, propensity signals, cookieless world, not a problem. First party data, access, many different ways to access, on-site, off-site. Wow, this is pretty darn good. So I want to thank both Katie and Aaron for joining the episode. You know, Katie, we worked together for quite a number of years. It's so good to be reconnected. We're both with very young children in our household and dealing with the throes of all the drama that comes with it. And it's great to be able to connect on so many levels. So great to have you back. Thank you for joining us, Katie.
Thank you for having me.
And of course, Aaron, you understand that three more episodes of the podcast and you get the proverbial velour smoking jacket to just like you're on Saturday Night Live. So I want to thank you in particular as well for coming back and sharing with us all the great stuff you're doing with Walgreens.
Of course. Thank you, Peter. And I will hold you to the jacket. So
I know,
and then
you
at
will.
Next Shop Talk, I'll wear it when I'm on, you know, when I'm on video with you. So I'll make it happen.
I think that would be great. And to our audience, want to thank you for joining Sri and me on this continuing journey, exploring how brands and retailers engage consumers in a digitally driven world. This was clearly a tremendous exploration today. Thank you. And of course, we look forward to speaking with you on the next episode of the CPG Guys podcast. Goodbye. The content in this podcast episode is provided for general informational purposes only. By listening to our episode, you understand that no information contained in this episode should be construed as advice from CPG Guys LLC
or the individual author, hosts, or guests, nor is it intended to be a substitute for research on any subject matter. Reference to any specific product or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by CPG Guys LLC. The views expressed by guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. The views expressed by CPG Guys LLC do not represent the views of their employers or the entity they represent. CPG Guys LLC expressly disclaims any and all liability or responsibility for any direct, indirect, incidental, special, consequential, or other damages arising out of any individual's use of, reference to, or inability to use this podcast or the information we present in this podcast.